go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning, Lord, and we just thank you for your goodness, Lord, and your mercy. Father, we just praise you that you would come to this earth to redeem us, Father. Lord, that you would bring us back to yourself. We just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, God. That you'd give us wisdom as we open your words. That you'd speak to us this morning. That you'd give us ears to hear, Father. Help us, Lord, in this world, Father, to be what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. I greet you all this morning in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 12. Verse 28. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" And Jesus answered him, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.'" "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said unto him, "Well, Master, thou hast said truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love His neighbor as Himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." And no man after that durst ask him any questions. I want to talk just a little bit about not being far from the kingdom of God. If I'm not far from my destination, am I at my destination? Told the story a man in India told one time about the man that went out hunting. He had his gun and he was going to go hunt tigers. And so he stepped out of his house and he locked the door and he put the key in his pocket and walked out. And he heard a tiger out. And so he took his gun and he went to follow this tiger, and he started hearing, and he heard the tiger closer and closer, and he went around some bushes and kind of come in the woods there, and here he just stood still, and pretty soon right there he turned around and that tiger was standing there looking at him. He lifted up his gun and he pulled the trigger. And the gun misfired. It didn't shoot. And he began to get a little scared. He tried to mess with the gun a little bit. And he tried again and it still didn't shoot. And he got more nervous. And the tiger began to sense his nervousness. So the tiger began to take a step towards him. So when he did that, the man took a step backwards. And the tiger took another step forward, just very slowly. And the man started backing up. And as he began to back up a little faster, the tiger began to run a little faster. Or to move a little faster. Soon he just turned around and just ran. And so here the tiger came after him. And he ran and he jumped and got on his front porch. And he reached for the key. And he started to stick it in the lock. And he dropped it. He almost made it. He was almost in his house. Do you think the tiger forgave him because he was almost there? Almost in the kingdom of God. This man that Jesus was talking to was almost in the kingdom of God. When Jesus quoted something, after he answered his question, he quoted him, and the man quoted what Jesus said. He almost word for word told Jesus his own doctrines. And Jesus looked at him and he said, "You're almost in the kingdom of God." I don't know whether the man was just a very moral and religious man. I don't know his life. But Jesus said, recognized that he had right doctrine. He understood all the right things. Yet he was still just almost in the kingdom of God. That song we used to sing, "Almost Persuaded." Almost. But yet to fail. Almost is yet to fail. We're not a part of the kingdom of God just because we believe the right doctrines. We're a part of it because we walk in the light. I want to just go to Mark chapter 10. Just as an example. What is faith according to Jesus? What does it mean to have faith? I want to read a couple of different accounts here. "And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judah and by the further side of Jordan. And the people resorted him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, 'Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife, tempting him?' And he answered and said unto them, 'What did Moses command you?'" Here we see the same thing that this other Pharisee did. He asked a question, tempting him, trying to trip him up. Thought he had him trapped. "What did Moses command you?" And they said, "Moses suffered you to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "For the hardness of your heart he wrote you this precept." Jesus said, all the laws, the greatest commandments, all of the laws hang on love God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. And because of the hardness of their hearts, Moses had to write more laws to keep things in order. God, the closer a man is to God, the less laws he needs to rule his life. When something is out of order, they need rules. They need laws. They need governed. Whenever there's things that are going wrong and people are doing wrong, that's what God has established the government for, to govern people. But whenever a man loves God with all his heart, with all his mind, he governs himself. Because the desire of his heart is to please God. Whenever a man loves God with all his heart, and he loves his neighbor as himself, you don't need a law to tell you, I shouldn't take anything from my neighbor. That law is written on your hearts. When you steal, when someone has stolen something and taken something from someone else, everyone knows that they've done wrong. No one has to tell them that doesn't belong to you. When someone tells a lie, no one has to tell you that you've told a lie. You already know you did. And you feel guilty about it. When you speak evil about someone else, you know you've done wrong. The Spirit of grace that brings salvation has appeared to every man, teaching them to deny ungodliness and worldly lust and to live righteously and soberly and godly in this world. Whenever you do something wrong, you know it. And you don't need a law to tell you. But when you refuse to put it into practice, that's when some government needs to take place. Someone has to restrain you. Whenever we love the Lord with all our heart, we do what we need to be doing. It's just that simple. Moses had to write a bunch of different laws to keep the people in order. This was not God's plan. Jesus went on to explain His plan. And Jesus answered and said unto them, "For the hardness of your heart He wrote you this precept, that from the beginning of creation God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave father, his father and mother, and cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. So then they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." Jesus explained it. Said it very simply. I intended one man and one woman to be together until death. Jesus didn't have to explain that He didn't say one man and one man, or one woman and one woman. What He said was very simple, and it covered a whole bunch of things. One man and one woman till death. When we just accept those simple things that Jesus says, that's where faith is. The disciples, and in the house, His disciples ask Him again of the same matter. "Wait a minute, Lord, we don't understand. We don't know about this." Did they have faith? What I'm trying to say is that whenever we believe what Jesus says, we don't need a whole book to explain what He said. One man, one woman, till death. That's all there is to it. That's what He said. And when we go to ask Him questions about what Jesus said, we start getting in trouble. Faith in Jesus. Let me give you another example. Jesus said, love your enemies. Well, what about war? Well, what about love your enemies? When we believe God, when we believe Christ, love your enemies says volumes. We don't need that described down to the very fine tooth level. He said, love your enemies. That is what faith is and does. Faith just believes Him and receives what He says. When He said, love your enemies, you already know what that means. When He says, treat everyone like you want it to be treated, you know what that means. There's hardly anybody will question those thoughts or those ideas. But does that make them in the kingdom of God? Does that put them in the kingdom of God? If you know them, you're almost there. But the tiger got him a fresh meal because he was almost there. Almost is but to fail. When we hear these things, and then we've got to write a paper about them to understand them, we might get our paper wrote. We might understand it a whole lot better, but unless we're putting it into practice, it's standing outside the locked door with the tiger coming at you. To love the Lord our God with all our heart and mind and soul, with all our understanding, and our neighbor as ourself. God put us on this earth and created us to serve Him. Man chose that he wanted his own way to do his own thing. He wanted to follow after Brian, like Brian said, about just follow the flesh, to live after the flesh, just like an animal. But God is trying to call us above that, higher than that. God is trying to call us to be a man. He has given us the power. He has given us the power to become the sons of God. Power. I looked that word up. I read quite a bit about power. Power. You know, the saying is that power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. Worldly power corrupts. Godly power will make you the sons of God. Because that power is your will. That power that you have is in your will. It is your ability to be able to do something. And God has given you that power. That's what love is. Love is not a special feeling you have. Love is not a tie. God's love is giving you the power to choose what you want to do all by yourself. And when you take that power that He's given it to you and give it right all to Him, you love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. That's what you have. You have the power to become the sons of God. I'm going to read another parable here, or another story here, just on down here in 10. 10 verse 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled unto him and said, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother. All of these things we talked about. When you disobey your parents, you know you're doing wrong. You know these commandments. That's what Jesus was saying to this man. You know them. And he answered and said unto them, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. I've observed these things. I don't think he was saying he never failed them. But he was saying, I know what you're talking about. And I try to observe them. I try to live by these laws. He wasn't just bragging, saying, I've never sinned. I've never broke any of these. He's just saying, I've observed these. This has been the rule of my life. I've tried to live a righteous life. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. It's one thing in your will that you haven't given up. You've observed the laws. You've observed the rules. And you're almost in the kingdom of God. You're almost in the kingdom of God. One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. Jesus gave him the power. This man had the power of heaven and earth right in his hands. Jesus loved him, and he gave him that power. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. He went away grieved. I use this often about being saved. People say they're being saved. How do you get saved? This is the way Jesus talked about being saved. This is the faith that Jesus talked about. He gave him the power, and he went away sorrowful. We can say, well, that's too bad. sad. Let me ask you this. What if Jesus asked this of you? Sell everything you have and follow me. Does that scare you? You say, oh no, he wouldn't ask that of me. No, that was for this guy. Do you love God with all your heart? I just want you to ask yourself the questions. Is there something in your life you would not give up? Is there something in your life that you won't yield the power that God has given you? Abraham had a son, a promised son that God had given. That boy got 13 years old, pride of his life. And then one day, working along out somewhere, doing something, I don't know what they were doing, God said, take your son up on top of the mountain. Build you an altar, an offering to me. You don't think Abraham didn't feel fear? You don't think Abraham wasn't tempted to think of a way out? But Abraham just believed God. Abraham believed God. Maybe he thought, well, he can raise him from the dead. He believed God was God. And he took him up there and offered him. The Bible says God tempted him. You know, some people get all troubled about tempted that. He wasn't tempting him to sin. He was tempting him to be faithful. God put his finger on the power for Abraham. His will. He took his son up there and laid him on an altar. He gave up the most precious thing in his life. Said, God, here it is. What is the most precious thing in your life? What is the most precious thing in your life? If you can't lay it on an altar and say, God, here it is. You're almost in the kingdom of God. We're to love our neighbor as ourself. If there's anything in our life that we can't give up, we don't love God with all our heart, mind, body, soul, and strength. We love that. That's our God. Whatever it is, no matter how small it is, the power that we have is the will to give up. And then we can become the sons of God. Jesus lived His life, and right before He died, the night before He died in the garden, He had to face that will of His again. And He had to surrender it again. Prayer is not for you to twist God's arm into giving you something. The power of prayer is you getting to the place where your will is God's will. No matter what. Don't think everyone has to just go live on a street corner. But I do think if there's something that you won't give up to God, you love that more than you do Him. Faith is a hard thing. Faith is the hardest work you'll ever do in your life. Because you have to fight that animal within you to trust God and to do good to all men. To live at peace with all men. To love your enemy, no matter what they do to you, no matter how they've hurt you, no matter how close they've got to you, you're still to love them. We don't wrestle with flesh and blood. We wrestle with principalities and powers. Whenever those things happened to Job, it wasn't just because men were mad at him. There was a battle going on in heaven for his soul. And Satan used a whole bunch of little pawns carry those things out in Job's life. Pawns that did things and said things didn't mean nothing to them, but they're just pawns. We get mad at the pawns instead of the hands that's moving the pawn. We're in a war. And it's not what people do to you. It's Satan trying to destroy you through people. It's Satan trying to make you mad because somebody did something or said something. But they're just a little puppet in his hand. We can either be Satan's puppet or we can be the sons of God. And when you give in to these things and become Satan's puppet, you're not the son of God, the sons of God. When we make choices, when we won't surrender our will, we're just being a puppet. And Satan will be glad to use any puppet he can get his hands on. Christ gave us power. If you don't yield your will to Christ and get that power of your will, you're nothing but Satan's puppet. No matter how much you think you're right or getting your way. That's what Christ came to do, is to set us free from being Satan's puppet. To give you the power to become the sons of God. Power of a sound mind. Power over just being an animal. Power to be what God wants you to be. There's no in between. We're either Satan's puppet, or we've been given the power of eternal life. The power to be set free. It's the blessings of what Christ did. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And He offers that to every one of us. And every one of us are just as close to Him as we want to be. It's not the devil keeping you from God. It's not your neighbors keeping you from God. It's not this world keeping you from God. It's you. It's you. Because we have the power to do it. May the Lord add His blessings. Does anyone have a comment or a question?
Laid all on the altar, are willing to, and then the but we keep living in his life and the cares of his life and his people and the riches and so suddenly
Jesus, all through his life, and even to the night he died, had to face that. It's not just a one-time decision. It's something we live. The just shall live by faith. Well, just encourage you to press on, be faithful, keep examining ourselves, keep everything on the altar. Brother said, cares of this life and the deceitful of riches. Luke 12 says that servant began to eat and drink with the drunken, and he will receive his part with the unbelievers. God has given us power, and when we're surrendered to his will, the way may be hard, but his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But the road is hard. Just a surrendered heart. Well, all right. Well, the Lord bless you. And begin the season to say,
yeah. Yeah.